Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
1970s, Bob Dylan. See, he is a prophet. He wasn't just a poet and a minstrel. He was a prophet. And not only a prophet for a generation past, play it a little louder, but a prophet for today, because there is a storm coming. We're in the storm. There is a storm that we're living through. It's the storm of radical Islamic madness. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, we know what happened in Canada. Most of you know every detail of that story. And you also know that Obama embarrassed America and himself once again. He called it senseless violence. And he is being criticized everywhere but in America for hedging on the Muslim who attacked the unarmed soldier, and being compared with Canadian Prime Minister who called it what it was, an act of terrorism. Canada's Prime Minister declared that his country was a victim of a terrorist, while Obama gave one of his limp-wristed sort of hedging speeches about senseless violence, which leads us to believe that we have a real problem coming down from the rotting fish head. As you well know, a fish rots from the head down. And, of course, the entire nation is rotting because the head has been rotting for a while. And people are trying to say, how do we deal with this? So I'm going to ask you a question on the Savage Nation today. How would you deal with radical Islam in America? What would you do? Should the government reauthorize the monitoring of mosques in America to listen in on hate preachers who are hiding behind the First Amendment but radicalizing many people to becoming such killers? And the third element of this question is this. Why does the president downplay Muslim terrorism in America? I mean, it's a straight-out question. And if I were the only one asking it, I would be, you know, the odd man out. But I'm not the only one asking it. Most of America is asking this question. How do you deal with radical Muslims in America? Should the government authorize the monitoring of mosques, which was once done, by the way, in New York City in particular, before the crackpot mayor became mayor and before the presidency was occupied by the Occupy movement with Obama as the head of it. So again, I have to ask you these questions because I was pleased to hear Peter King, a congressman from New York, who's been, I think, rather erratic over the last years with wanting to go to war with Syria and this and that. All of a sudden, Peter King was making sense again. He sounded like the Peter King I once respected in an interview on Newsmax, and I think we should play some of Representative Peter King on the Savage Nation. But first, hold on now. Before we play Peter King, I want to give you my phone number to call in, because it is a call-in show, unlike newspapers, which no longer receive letters to the editor, because that's a thing of the past. Radio, my radio show in particular, because I don't have calls that are pre-set up. Most people in the business have fake callers, I found out. They call it robocalls, friends, family, paid callers. The reason my show sounds different is because none of these callers I've ever heard from. I mean, I don't know who they are. So 855-407-2822, it makes for an interesting show. And if you're lucky enough to pass Neil the screener today, you'll be heard with your opinion by more people than you're going to meet for the rest of your life. That's pretty awesome when you think about it. Think about speaking and reaching more people than you've met or are going to meet for the rest of your entire life on planet Earth. And the questions for this first hour on the Savage Nation are, how would you deal with the ISIS threat in America? That's number one. Should the government reauthorize the monitoring of mosques? Why does Obama downplay Muslim terrorism in America? These are very important questions on the Savage Nation, and I'm very proud to tell you that I still have the freedom of speech that our ancestors died to protect, and that young men are dying to protect right now in Afghanistan. Yes, that's right. And young policemen and old policemen in America are standing guard to make certain that we don't lose it all under this president of ours and his rogue attorney general who invoked executive privilege just an hour ago. That's right, in case you haven't heard it. About an hour ago, or a little less than that, our so-called attorney general, who is more like a lawbreaker than a lawmaker, our attorney general used Fast and Furious papers that were supposed to come out. We wouldn't release them. Obama asserted Fast and Furious executive privilege claim for Holder's wife. It's never been done before. In other words, Eric Holder has a wife. So she was called to testify by Judicial Watch. Obama asserted executive privilege for the wife of Eric Holder. What are they hiding? What are they hiding that they need executive privilege? So now let's play Peter King on the Savage Nation Across America. Go ahead, please.
One of my former colleagues on Capitol Hill, the former chairman of the House Homeland Security
Committee. What the hell is going on here? Okay, Celia Montana, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's Montgomery. Michael, we have been ruined by this government. He's the most dangerous man in America. Everything should be monitored, but it may have already gone too far.
Well, what do you mean by everything? You mean churches should be monitored and synagogues because terrorism is coming out of churches and synagogues as well?
The Muslims, the erratic, crazy Muslims. I think Obama is one. He's protecting them.
But why is he downplaying? Why do you think he's downplaying the Canadian terrorist attack? Unlike the Canadian Prime Minister, who clearly said it was a terrorist act, Obama said that it was an act of senseless violence. Why would he do a thing like that?
Because he's a Muslim and he's protecting them. He doesn't.
Well, not all Muslims want to protect terrorists, though. This is the conundrum that I have. As we learned on the Savage Nation yesterday from a caller who was a Muslim, most Muslims in America do not want to commit jihad. They want to raise a family and be left alone to follow their religion. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. But why is Obama always on the side of hedging when it comes to Muslim terrorism? Why?
Well, I think that
no one knows the answer. No one knows the answer. So let's start from the top again, and let's have Peter King, any of the cuts.
We can have all of the technology in the world. The fact is we have to find out what's happening on the ground in these Muslim communities. And we can only do that through increased surveillance. What the NYPD used to do until those morons, the New York Times editorial board and the Associated Press and the Civil Liberties Union went after them. The fact is we have to find out what people are thinking. We have to find out who the radicals are. We have to find out what's going on in the mosques, which often are incubators of this type of terrorism. We have to go all out with surveillance. We have to monitor what's happening in those communities. And we have to be quick to call it terrorism.
All right, that's Representative Peter King, a member of Congress, who's saying it like it is. Do you agree with him? Should we be monitoring mosques and not churches and synagogues? Now, we know what the ACLU is going to try and do, which is protect terrorists. We know what the New York Times is going to do, which is protect terrorists. We know what the New York Civil Liberties Union is going to do, protect terrorists. That's their stock and trade. All of those organizations are run by wackadoodles who have made us unsafe at any speed. But what do you, the American people, want done after the Republicans sweep the election in less than 10 days? It's that simple. Because I will tell you, your job is going to begin after the election. Yes, you have a job now, which is to convert people from the D column to the R column. That's right. That's your job. You have one job between now and then. You know there's someone in your family who, no matter what Obama has done, they still think he's a wonderful president because they're ignoramuses. They're not low-information voters. They are no-information voters. They are plain stupid. They don't care about the facts of what he's done. And that's because the newspaper is all they scan, and the newspapers don't show anything negative about Obama. Never, never in 6 years have you seen a negative story about this man. You'd think that he was a man discovered in a papyrus basket floating in Lake Michigan, that he was sent to us by God himself to save us and part the Red Sea to the libs. But the fact is, he is not the savior of America. He may be the opposite. And how do you convert someone from a Democrat to a Republican for this election? Let's focus only on this election. Have any of you actually used my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, or any of my previous writings to sit down with a person and say, look, I know you're a Democrat, but would you please look at what he's done to this country? Let's go down system by system. Schools. Simple. Can anyone listening to the show say to me that if you said to a Democrat, can you actually argue that our borders are more secure under Obama or less secure, they would argue and say they're more secure? Can you say to them, is the military stronger or weaker under Obama? Everyone knows it's weaker, but I have the facts to prove it. If you say to them, would you say that the children are learning more and are better prepared for the world under Obama or worse prepared than they were 6 years ago? I show you in the book the test scores, how we've fallen down on that. Do you get it? KSFO, Patrick, what's your solution to the problems we're facing?
Yes, I think Homeland Security should order red, white, and blue paper instead of green paper, and everybody should get an ID that says you're patriotic and sign up for it. They're so into everyone signing up to register to vote, but they don't want voter IDs. They're so into everyone coming over and doing whatever they want. So why not have red, white, blue paper?
So you're saying you want a loyalty oath? That was once, by the way, required in America when I was young. Do you know who knocked out a loyalty oath? The ACLU. They said it's disloyal to be loyal.
That's right. We're living in the era of obfuscation. It's not the Democrat Party. It's the obfuscation party. So I say, why don't we all have an oath to say I'm loyal? Why?
Well, the problem with a loyalty oath, by the way, is that if you were really out to do harm, wouldn't you say you're loyal and you would sign such a loyalty oath? You know that they would. So, but what's the problem? I mean, who are you going to catch by having them sign a loyalty oath? Who wouldn't sign it?
To me, it's basically it's giving the middle finger to the party of obfuscation, saying two could play that game. You want no IDs to vote, but you want us all to register, but you don't want to check to make sure it's the right people voting. That's the way I want to see it.
I see what you're saying. You're trying to challenge them on a rhetorical level is what you're doing, Patrick, correct?
Yes, sir.
I get it. So you're a student of rhetoric. I understand that, and it's all words. Yes, it's very important to understand the power of words. Well, welcome back to the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
We don't yet have all the information about what motivated the shooting. We don't yet have all the information about whether this was part of a broader network or plan, or whether this was an individual or a series of individuals who decided to take these actions. But it emphasizes the degree to which we have to remain vigilant when it comes to dealing with these kinds of acts of senseless violence or terrorism.
Okay, senseless violence or terrorism. Obama is being roundly criticized, both here and in Canada, for hedging on the words terrorist attack. The Canadian government was clear. They called it what it was, an act of terrorism by a Muslim. And the Prime Minister of Canada declared that his country was a victim of a terrorist. Why does Obama walk so gently around this issue? After all, it was an unarmed Canadian soldier who was executed by the Muslim who then did a victory dance. And a day before, a soldier was run over in a hit-and-run incident in Quebec by a Muslim fanatic. Should I not say the word Muslim? Should I join the chorus of the New York Times and the ACLU? Should we say religious fanatic or cleric? Every time we say the word imam, we should convert that to cleric. Is that what you'd like? So again, the people don't know who or what is doing what. So how would you deal with the threat of radical Islam in our own country? Should we do, as Congressman Peter King suggests, authorize again the monitoring of mosques? Because we know that most mosques are basically harbingers of peace, but some aren't. Some teach hatred. Some teach jihad. And that's why so many of the young are going to terrorist countries. You get it? That's how it's happening. And why does Obama downplay terrorism in America? These are important questions. It's that simple. So what would you do? What would you do? You have the power now. What would you do? Tell me exactly what you'd do. I don't know the answer myself. I know some of the answers. But the ultimate answer is something quite horrible. I know many of you like to say, turn the Middle East into glass. That's an easy, you know, knee-jerk reaction, just nuke them. But what does that mean? You're going to kill, what, everyone in the Middle East? That doesn't make sense. That's not the problem. The real issue is, what it is about the What is it about the fundamentalists who read the Quran literally? That's the real issue. How many times have I said the same thing on this show? If I've said it 100 times, I said it once. So get it right this time, would you please? The Old Testament is the book upon which the Quran is based. I mean, let's not mince words. The first religion of the three that are considered monotheistic religions is Judaism. And Islam came along, and what's his name? Muhammad took much of the teachings that are taught or written in the Quran, verbally at the time, from the Old Testament. I mean, let's be clear. He didn't make it up out of thin air. He copied a lot of it from the Old Testament. But why is it that Jews who follow the Old Testament, the Orthodox, do not stone homosexuals nor stone adulteresses, while the radicals in radical Islam do that? They do that. They do that. They do that. They do that. How is it the Jew chooses not to eat shrimp and pork, but not to stone a woman who commits adultery? While radical Muslims, I don't know about their food prohibitions, I know pork, I don't know about shrimp, still stone adulteresses to death. In fact, we have a picture of one right in Syria, a father putting a noose around a girl's neck, his own daughter, and leading her into a hole in the ground and stoning her to death with the fanatics with the black masks next to him. How is it that this could still be going on in the year 2014? How? How is this possible? So the question is, what do you do about it? How do you take so many millions of ignoramus throwbacks and tell them that you can't stone your daughter to death if she commits adultery? How do you get that across to the maniacs? What do you have to do? Tell me what you have to do. Give me an answer to that question. Well, now we're suddenly touching the First Amendment. Oh, really? What does that mean? Well, maybe you can't teach children to stone adulteresses and kill homosexuals and cut the throats of infidels in a mosque. Maybe that should be outlawed. Really? You mean you can't say such things in America? How's that possible?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When you see a person who is a Muslim convert, when you see him carrying out an attack 2 or 3 days after another similar type attack, after ISIS has called upon individual Muslims to carry out these attacks, then we have to realize that this is a real, real issue, and that's just something that we can hide under this cover of political correctness.
That's Congressman Peter King from New York on Newsmax television. He knows what needs to be done. Listen to clip number 12 now. He continues in the interview. It's interesting.
The administration should come forward, starting with the president, and should say that this is terrorism. It's Islamist terrorism. It's part of, listen, there are killers and murderers in all races, nationalities. Just because a person happens to be Muslim doesn't mean that's why they carried out the attack.
Well, now he's going the other way. We got that. So let's go to clip 13.
We're talking about Muslim converts when they're acting several days after one another, when it's in response to a demand or an order or request from ISIS to carry out these type of attacks. We have to put political correctness aside and accept the reality that this is most likely a murder, not just carried out, an act of terrorism, not just carried out by a person who happens to be a Muslim, but a person who has been influenced by radical ideology. And perhaps more, perhaps in collusion with others. And that's what we have to look at. That's
all right,
we have
so what
to
are you saying
about.
We need to do, Congressman? Monitor the mosques? You said that also. New York used to do that until the cockamamie lunatics in the NYPD and the ACLU and the New York Times said that that's illegal. It's not illegal. What, to prevent murder is illegal? No. Listen to 14 now.
Well, I strongly believe that without in any way violating the Constitution, we can have effective security. For instance, I believe it's very appropriate for police to be monitoring local organizations, to be looking through their sources to find out who in communities could be dangerous, who could have terrorist leanings, who could be involved in conspiracies to carry out violence. As far as, for instance, electronic surveillance, that should be done with court supervision, but it, in many ways it's the only way to find out what is going to be happening.
All right, so in other words, bug the radical mosques in plain English. What, they don't exist? What, are you shocked to hear that? Let me ask you something. Common sense. You just heard with three teenage girls or two, whatever, went to Syria. They're on their way to become jihadists. Where'd they get the message from in their Somali community? Seems a lot of Somalis get the message in their mosques. Now, of course, when the Somalis came here, this is an intriguing side note. In San Francisco, about 3 years ago, the police chief who's a fine police chief, by the way, had the nerve and the audacity to tell the truth. He actually gave an off-the-cuff speech where he said, I'm concerned about radical imams in Somali mosques. Well, they almost fired him. He almost lost his job as police chief for saying what any policeman who knows what's going on would say. See, this is what's happened in the country. They become so caponized, there's no other word for it, that we're all vulnerable. And we've talked about this over and over and over again. I'm in radio 20 years. Way back in the early years, you know how I put it? I said, there's no barbs on our berries anymore. Now, a lot of women love that one. Now, what do I mean by barbs on our berries? If you look at a strawberry under a magnifying glass, a strawberry, a common strawberry, look at it under a magnifying glass for the fun of it next time you get a strawberry. Pick up a magnifying glass. You'll see that even the humble strawberry has little barbs on it. Now, what are the barbs for? The barbs are to deter insects from eating the soft flesh of the strawberry, right? That's a natural protective evolutionary device that nature had the strawberry develop through evolution, a barb on its berry. Well, we have barbs on our own berries, common sense, etc. And what we have in this country is an insane level of people who have clipped the barbs off the berries of every policeman in America. And they're trying to clip the barbs off the berries even of our soldiers. Look at the sad story in Canada. Do you know that that man who was shot had a gun with no bullets in it? In other words, a mock gun. And the Muslim had a gun, that's all. He had a gun that was loaded. So he killed the poor kid. A 24-year-old man who was a bouncer in a bar, by the way. I'm sure he could have torn the radical Muslim to pieces with his own hands. But no, this coward came up and just shot him at point-blank range, and he leaves behind a couple of kids and a couple of dogs he was caring for as a single father. I mean, it's a horrible story. You talk about racism. Is there anyone more racist than a radical Muslim? Tell me if there's anything more racist than a radical Muslim who kills anyone who doesn't conform to his religious beliefs. I mean, you want to talk about racism? Talk about racism. That's all. WABC Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. You asked a question why, given the Old Testament is very, there's a lot of barbarism in the Old Testament versus Muslims who, with Jews who no longer stone adulterers, whereas Muslims do. So that was a very relevant question. I have an answer for you. Jews have learned to be civilized in Western civilization. Radicalism, they never had the numbers. They never had the capacity to do it, so they evolved to get rid of the radicalism. It's that simple.
Wait, hold it. You missed me in one of your logical steps. Who didn't have the numbers?
The Jews didn't have the numbers. The Jews
to do what? Wait. The Jews didn't have the number of people to do what?
Engage in this radicalism that you see with the Muslims. They never had the capacity to do it.
But you're implying that if the Jews had the numbers, they would also be killing adulteresses and stoning homosexuals?
If there were a billion Jews and 12 million Muslims, and the Muslims lived in exile in Western civilization, the Jews would be blowing up buses and the Muslims would be winning the Nobel Prizes. That's what would happen.
Oh, come on. That's not true. I don't think that makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you're jumping to a conclusion that doesn't make any sense to me. The question is, why do even fundamentalist Orthodox Jewish people follow Leviticus, but they don't do such abominable things as I mentioned? How is that possible?
How can they do that? They don't have the power. And you see, by the way, given their power in Israel, it's nowhere near. I don't want to make any kind of comparison to what the Muslims do. But the modern Orthodox, not the modern Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox in Israel, they don't have the power, but you see when they have the power, the abuse that they do. Look, I'm a big Zionist. I support the state of Israel.
No, by the way, I agree with you on that. The ultra-Orthodox are a real problem in Israel. They happen to stone non-Orthodox Jews who drive through their neighborhoods on a Saturday. Did you know that?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I went to those things sometimes. They were for entertainment, but I wasn't religious, but I went.
No, I understand. I know how zealous they can be. And what goads me about the zealousness of the ultra-Orthodox in Israel is that most of them don't serve in the military. Until very recently, they loved living off the fat of the land, but they didn't want to contribute in terms of protecting themselves, did they?
The death of Israel. That will be the Orthodox will take over. They're kicking and screaming today. Today they're kicking and screaming. In a generation, they're gonna realize, you know, the...
But wait, didn't the law just get passed in Israel where Orthodox had to serve in the military?
That's what I'm saying. It's going to destroy the Israeli military because the Orthodox are going to take over in a generation. They're fighting. They're kicking and screaming now. They don't want to go. They don't want to go. Once they realize what a huge bureaucracy they can suckle, they will take over. Did you know that the majority, that most of the officers in Israel are Orthodox? Are you aware of that? Most of the...
No, I wasn't aware of that. But I know, I mean, I was very proud to learn many years ago that the chief rabbi of Israel at the time was also a paratrooper.
Modern Orthodox, you're talking about.
He was able to jump out of an airplane with a Bible in one hand and an Uzi in the other. That's the kind of man I looked up to.
Yes, but that's not what they call the Haredi, the people that the modern Orthodox are the best soldiers. The modern Orthodox are the best soldiers. It's the yeshiva students that right now they're kicking and screaming. I'm telling you right now they're kicking and screaming. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. In a generation, they're gonna take over the military.
Well, Joe, you do know, we're a little off the radical Islamic path, but it's an interesting topic for me and perhaps my listeners as well. You seem to be knowledgeable about this and the supporter of the State of Israel, which is quite interesting. So let's continue this for a minute. If you look at this subject from a different perspective, you come up with a couple of different conclusions. What you are saying is that religion is actually bad for Israel?
I'm saying no, please don't put words in my mouth. No.
I'm trying to follow your argument. You're in Cafe Savage. I'm asking you what you just said to me.
There are different levels of orthodoxy. I'm sure you're aware of that. There's the black hat, blue suit that are called Haredim. They're the trembling before God is there. That's the definition.
Well, what do you make of the Satmar Hasidim, the ones with the long sideburns, who don't think the State of Israel should exist?
You know, there you go, right there. Like, you know, tell me something. Give those people machine guns, okay? Give those people state-of-the-art weapons. What do you think they're going to do?
I don't think people listening to this show know that there's a sect of Orthodox Jews called the Satmar Hasidim, which you may see around New York, the ones with the sideburns. They're different than the Lubavitch. The Satmar don't think Israel should exist. They think Zionism is a curse. They were the best friends of Yasser Arafat and the PLO. You know that, don't you?
It was the Satmar. They're the Neturei Karta. I don't think it was Satmar. Be careful which groups you impugn, because it's very complicated. It's, you know, Jews are not, you know, they're not monolithic. There's dissent and stuff like that as well.
Ah, wait a minute. So you just hit on a salient point. You're saying there's no dissent in the Muslim community. Is that what you're saying?
Now, but here's the thing, though. Spinoza, the founder of, like, modern philosophy, the person who really started the Enlightenment, if he were born in a Haredi village in Mea Shearim, he would have been stoned to death. It was only because he was in a Christian society that really embraced the Enlightenment. And I'll tell you, the Muslims have a really big problem now, too. This is the biggest problem in the Muslim world right now. They threw all the Jews out. They got nobody to fix all their problems. They're a mess.
What you mean in Northern Africa? People don't know, but everyone says, oh, here's an interesting side note, which we may as well cover, Joe, in our global knowledge of what's going on in the world. The people like to say, if only the Jews would give the Muslims back the West Bank, all would be well in the world. Now, of course, that's a fallacious argument, because that doesn't explain why the Muslims are at war with the Filipino Catholics, or why Muslims are at war with the Hindus over Kashmir. Wherever you go, there's always an excuse, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point is a little different than that, which is that when Israel was founded and the Arabs were so-called kicked out of the West Bank, how many Jews were kicked out of North African lands that they had lived in for centuries and had their possessions stolen? The number I read was close to 1 million Jews had their possessions stolen in the entire Arab Crescent, Algeria, Morocco, etc. Jews were thrown out of those countries and their land and possessions stolen. Isn't that correct, Joe?
These were not like kebab salesmen. The Jews controlled the banks. You know, the Jews controlled the bus businesses. They had huge businesses that they just walked away from that were confiscated from them. You know, they Jews in Iraq, Baghdad was a Jewish city. Baghdad was about 30% Jewish before they were expelled. But with that expulsion, they lost their most talented people, basically, because it was really like, and they all went to Israel. It's like the oldest story in the book. It started with, you know, the Spanish Inquisition. The Jews left Spain, and they went to Turkey and Holland. Within 100 years, Turkey and Holland were the wealthiest countries in the world. I mean, that's a historical fact. And by the way, Spain went bankrupt, you know? Spain went, within 100 years, Spain was finished, Turkey...
You mean after the Jews were expelled, Spain lost its dominance in the world. There's another interesting note here, which is quite ironic and paradoxical, and you're an interesting man. I'd like to continue the conversation in this way. Let's look at Hitler. Hitler's obsession with the Jews. He kicked the Jews out of Germany, killed millions of Jews. What happened to Germany as a result? Did it thrive? It was reduced to ashes. The country was reduced to ashes, and irony of ironies, some of the Jews he threw out, like Enrico Fermi, for example, went on to create the atomic bombs, which were used against Japan, not against Germany, unfortunately. It should have been used against Germany, by the way. It would have saved a lot of lives a lot sooner, and probably wouldn't have done any more damage than the firebombing of Dresden did, et cetera, or other cities. But isn't it ironic that the Jews that he kicked out were the ones who went on to create the weapons that literally turned the tide of the war?
Well, yeah, and what's happened in the whole Middle East since the Jews got kicked out of the Middle East? The whole place has gone to hell in a handbasket. I mean, they lost their bet. Look, let's not...
How was it that Arabs and Jews got along for centuries? They did. They lived and worked together. Everybody knows that. We're talking about after the 12th century, there was tremendous cooperation between religions and races in the Middle East. And this poison, Joe, you know this poison is rather recent, and it started with the Wahhabi sect of Islam. Isn't that correct?
I don't really agree with that. I think it's all been weaponized. I think the religion's been weaponized.
Hold on. Joe, you're very interesting. By the way, before we take our quick break and come back to Joe in New York City on WABC, Joe, what is your current profession? I'm very curious.
I'm just a real estate guy, basically.
Just a real estate guy. Yeah, always. There's never a common man in the Savage Nation. Please stay on. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We have breaking news on the Savage Nation. Headline, New York Post, 2 minutes ago. Doctor who treated Ebola patients rushed to New York City Hospital. The Big Apple may have its first case of Ebola. Thank you, President Ebola. A 33-year-old Doctors Without Borders physician who treated Ebola patients in Guinea and returned to NYC 10 days ago was rushed in an ambulance with police escorts from his home in Harlem to Bellevue Hospital today. Craig Spencer was suffering from Ebola-like symptoms, a 103-degree fever and nausea. Clad in hazmat suits, FDNY hazardous materials specials, sealed off his fifth-floor apartment, blah, 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 taken to the hospital. So this is a man who's been working with Doctors Without Borders in Africa, treating Ebola patients in Guinea. He now is showing symptoms, and they've rushed him to a hospital in New York City. Now, what sense did it make to bring this man back to New York City after treating patients in Africa? Why was he not quarantined? Why? You can thank old Tommy Frieden. You can thank President Ebola. You can thank Anthony Fauci, in my opinion, because all of them are stuck in the old AIDS protocols of no quarantines permitted. Oh, no, don't use common sense in stopping the Ebola epidemic, because we're very well versed in all of the rhetoric from the AIDS years, and we're now applying them to the Ebola years. But they don't work, my friends. Ebola is not AIDS. It's a different virus, different transmission. And by the way, Ebola is much more readily spread than AIDS. You should know that of all people. We need absolute travel bans in and out of Western Africa. We need quarantine for at least 30 days or more for anyone traveled into those countries, especially those like this doctor who treated them. Headline, doctor who treated Ebola patients rushed to NYC Hospital. Joe, on WABC, if you wish to hold and not make another real estate sale in this hot market, I'll be here for you. Everyone else, I'll be back for another 2 hours right here on the Savage Nation. Remember, stop the coming civil war by buying the book.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, attention, Savage Nation. We have breaking news. Breaking news. Sad story. Doctor who treated Ebola patients rushed to New York City Hospital. Came out in the last 20 minutes, New York Post. A 33-year-old doctor from the Doctors Without Borders organization who treated Ebola patients in Guinea and returned to NYC 10 days ago was rushed in an ambulance with police escorts this morning from his Harlem home to Bellevue Hospital on this day. Suffering from Ebola-like symptoms, including 103-degree fever and nausea. Now, the questions are such. Why did he come back to America without having gone through a quarantine period of 21, 31, 45 days? Why? Why did the Obama administration not yet impose a travel ban, stop travel from these countries? Why do they let doctors, as well-meaning as they are, go back and forth? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, a team of disease detectives are now trying to identify others who may have come in contact with this doctor and could be at risk themselves. The health department staff has established protocols to identify, notify, and if necessary, quarantine any contacts of Ebola cases, said the health department. Well, guess who was on this weeks ago, Michael Savage? On the 17th of October, an article came out saying Michael Savage says they don't know Ebola from Shinola, urges Obama and the CDC chief to emulate African nations restricting travel. Now, nobody saw this story. It was not linked on any site. For some reason, prophets are not recognized in their own time. But it was linked on MichaelSavage.com, and you certainly heard me talking about Ebola on the Savage Nation for weeks. So let me read you the article. Maybe you'll hear it now for the first time and realize that I'm worth listening to. President Obama's executive order Thursday, that was weeks ago, to send National Guard and Reserve units to Liberia to help contain the Ebola outbreak is yet another indicator that he and officials such as the CDC director Tom Frieden are in over their heads, charged talk radio host Michael Savage. Listening to Obama, listening to Frieden, they don't know Ebola from Shinola, Savage told his listeners 2 weeks ago. Every day they change their tune. The military itself knows more about Ebola than they do. Savage noted that nearly every African government has restricted travel from the three West African nations where the Ebola outbreak originated. I suspect they are run by racists, said Savage, and I think King Lear Obama should send Eric Holder to Africa, as he has to Ferguson, Missouri, to investigate and see if he can bring in the FBI against Gambia, Nigeria. He should investigate Togo, Gabon, the Ivory Coast, Senegal, Rwanda, Chad, South Sudan, Namibia, Angola, South Africa, Botswana, Congo, Lesotho, Equatorial Guinea, Kenya, and Madagascar, said Savage, because after all, they've all banned travel from these Ebola-stricken nations. There were many more on the list of African nations that have been banned to ban travel into the Ebola-stricken countries of Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. So the U.S. has announced plans to send 4,000 military personnel to West Africa. Now, what did Michael Savage point out? Michael Savage pointed out that it's logical that at least one of the 4,000 troops may inadvertently contract Ebola and bring it back with him or her. Does that not make sense? Is that not a logical conclusion? So when I said that weeks ago, the moron, Take Chapper, whatever his name is, Take Chaplip, on CNN, self-important in his own mind, Take Chaplip had the nerve to say that I said Obama wanted to infect American troops with Ebola. That's what passes for news on CNN. Again, that story was not linked by any one of my friends in the media, because I have no friends in the media, except for my millions of listeners. Thank you very much. But the fact of the matter is, Take Chaplip should know that I didn't say Obama wanted to infect American troops with Ebola, but he may as well want to. Because if you're going to send 4,000 troops to Africa, Mr. Chaplip, isn't it logical that at least one of them might come back like this Doctors Without Borders? Isn't it logical or possible? Well, it is if you have a logical mind. But if you have a mind blinded by your ideology, nothing is logical. Everything is run through the filter of liberal stupidity. That's the topic. That's the breaking news. In the last hour, we were talking about the outbreak of the epidemic of radical Islam around the world. The plague of radical Islam is an epidemic spreading around the globe, and it's, of course, hitting Canada, it's hitting the U.S. And I asked you, how would you control the plague of radical Islam in America? Should the government authorize monitoring mosques in America? Peter King said so. He's a congressman. I agree with him. And why did Obama downplay Muslim terrorism yesterday and every time it occurs? Why did he call it something, random violence? I don't know what he called it. I had it somewhere right here. He called it senseless violence, while the Premier of Canada said it was clearly what it was terrorism. Obama hit for hedging on terrorist attack, unlike Canadian PM. He called it senseless violence. Why is he covering it up? And then we went to the issue of Jews and Muslims. And I was asking a question that no one seems to have tackled in the media except me, because I happen to have an Old Testament in my hand with about 1,000 post-its in it, which I've read for 30, 40, 50 years now. And I realized that certainly, I'm not a religious person, but even Orthodox Jews that I know don't stone adulteresses to death. And they know enough to follow some of the rules of the Old Testament and to ignore the others. I mean, it's unbelievable to me why this has not occurred in the Muslim religion amongst the radicals. I don't understand what has to happen, in other words. But, you know, I was reading, and Joe, we're going to go back to you in a minute. There's an awful lot of build up here to this. I was reading Genesis in the Old Testament, and I noted it. It said Lot inseminated his own daughters. Did you know that? I didn't know Lot was a child molester, and he committed, what do you call that when you commit that kind of thing with your own? What do you call it when you sleep with your own daughter and have a child? I know it's horrible, the thought of it. I don't even know the word. It's so alien to my mind, I can't even remember the word. But in Genesis, listen to what it said. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he knew not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the youngster arose and lay with him. And he knew not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bore a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, these are uncomfortable statements from the Old Testament, but they are in the Old Testament. Are we therefore to conclude that it is okay to do such things? I doubt it. Just because Lot did it with his daughters doesn't mean that they're recommending it, nor because the ancients stoned adulteresses, is it correct to stone adulteresses, etc., and so on and so on. So I was asking the question, which was not really rhetorical, which is, how do Orthodox Jews follow some of the laws but not all of them? And a caller, Joe, called in the last hour, and we've had a very interesting conversation. And Joe, how much of $1 million sale or $10 million sale did I interrupt by holding you over in the last hour?
Although I'm not that kind of guy, Dr. Savage.
You're in real estate in Manhattan. It's a good thing to be in these days.
I own some real estate, property manager. I'm small time.
It's good. So you manage your own property. Okay, fine. So, Joe, when we were talking, you're saying Jews basically would have done the same thing if they had the population to do it.
Yeah, if they had the population and if they weren't civilized by Western civilization. Like I was saying, Spinoza...
What you say is there's two things you're saying. It's saying because the Jews didn't have the population to continue these ancient barbaric acts, for example, they didn't do it, and eventually they were modified by Western civilization. You mean Christianity.
Well, I mean secular Christians. I don't mean Christianity. I mean secular Christians. Christians who put the nonsense of their religion behind them and didn't stone a Spinoza to death. Those kind of Christians. Protestants, I believe, in particular. You know, they're like the first, the Protestants, I guess, were the first dissenters, you know, active dissenters. And the Jews kind of took it over from there. You know, they kind of moved in on that over the generations and stuff. But it was mainly...
Most Muslims don't do those horrible things, but what needs to happen, in your opinion, for the radical throwbacks to get the message?
You know, the Jews... Jews got kicked out of their country, okay? They wandered the world for 2,000 years, and they were forced to come up with a plan, you know? And fortunately, they did that. And the thing that the Muslims need, it's unfortunate, but the reality is they need to be completely humiliated. And this goes to actually answer another issue of yours, is why does Obama not want to speak, you know, call terrorism terrorism? It's a whole thing. Why does he not want to call, you know, why does he not want to call, even at the hint of it, why doesn't he want to call what's happening in Missouri now? What's happening in Missouri? Why does he not want to call that, you know, a crime, the guy a criminal?
Not only does he not want to call the man who was shot a criminal and the cop a hero, he sent Holliday to stir up the gangs in the streets, and they're still rioting down there in order to agitate them to vote 10 days from now.
Correct. He wants votes. He wants to. It's sort of this mentality that everybody's okay. Just give them what they want, and they'll behave themselves. That's the deal. It's the Wizard of Oz theory. You know.
So you actually think it's not as nefarious as some do about Obama? You think it's one of ultra tolerance in order to defuse anger? Is that it?
Sociopath. He thinks, you know, just give them what they want and they'll listen to me, you know, because I'm the best. Because, you know.
Right, so what's the answer then with radical Muslims here in America? Let's talk brass tacks. What needs to be done?
I'll tell you what's not the answer, because I always tell people that everything I learned about crazy jihadis, I learned from my Hasidic uncle. Okay, the same hostility toward things that were, you know, not from within the community. You know, anything that's not. Or, you know, of their sect, or certainly if it's not Jewish, it's frowned upon. You know, there's this hostility toward, you know, education, that, you know, you're going to get an education that's going to lead.
Is it true that ultra-Orthodox Jews do not let their children go to college?
Here's the thing, Dr. Savage. This is the thing. If you would have asked me that question 10 or 15 years ago, I would have said, yes, that's true. But they're sick and tired of getting poor. This is a sea change. And this is what goes back to what I was saying to you about the Orthodox in the Israeli military as well, the ultra-Orthodox in the Israeli military. I have Hasidic cousins that were completely hostile to the whole idea of an education who are now CPAs, okay? They, you know, master's degrees in finance. You know, this is a new phenomenon, you know?
So you mean they got tired of being on welfare?
Tired of being poor because, you know, there's all this social pressure. What do you think? You know, like they're living in like the Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah, but I was told that they don't let their children study science. I even had that argument a few weeks ago with a religious Jewish caller on this show.
Whatever.
He said they don't need science. They've got the Torah. He said that on this show.
That's changing, though. That's changing drastically.
Well, maybe so. Wait, that's fine. Is it changing in the Muslim community? No. What's changing them?
They need an ass kicking, but there's all what's not changing them is they're being apologized for when Obama gets up there and doesn't want to like call, you know, terrorism terrorism. When you coddle them, when you say let's have a Palestinian state, even though they're like, you know, sworn to the destruction.
All right, so you're saying we need a tougher president and much tougher rhetoric coming out of the media is what you're saying. And calling it like it is. Joe, you are a knowledgeable man, and I think we've sort of exhausted the topic. I'm going to send you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, specifically in a plain brown wrapper for your Hasidic grandfather. I'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. I mean, you look at the Old Testament. I mean, I hate to get entrapped in this because so many people understand it with a certain fondness and they say it's an historic document, but they don't take it literally. And then there are those who take it literally up to a certain point, and then there are those who take other religions literally, and they kill people, stone adulteresses and kill homosexuals as being done in the Middle East. But, you know, you can find anything you want to justify virtually any act that you wish to follow somewhere. You know that. That's something I discovered as an anthropologist that you can drive you crazy. And whatever, let's say the maddest part of yourself that you've tried to suppress all your life, somewhere on earth, not only is it not repressed, it's revered. Then this is the beauty of education. But the same thing applies to the Old Testament. In Isaiah itself, where he's always lecturing and screaming at people for bad behavior and horrible, and the Jerusalem's destroyed because you're under this and you're that and you're no good, and the city's going to be destroyed. It says, after everything is destroyed, seven women shall take hold of one man and say, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, take thou away our reproach. And then everything becomes beautiful again. What does that mean? It means after everything falls apart, seven women approach one man, and they live with him as wives. That's where the multiple wives is permitted. Did you know that? It's in Isaiah itself. I didn't know that. I just discovered that. In that day shall the growth of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. In other words, those who escape and escape to the hills after it all comes down, man, and it all falls apart and people are killed and they're this and they're that. Seven women take hold of one man and they say, we'll take care of ourselves. We'll eat our own bread. We'll make our own clothing. Just let us be called by thy name. Take thou away our reproach. Isn't that? That's phenomenal. See, so you say, well, where do they get the idea that you can have multiple wives? Well, it's not only in Islam that in the more primitive communities men have multiple wives. It was permitted in biblical days amongst Jews. Did you know that? It's like another uncomfortable fact of reality. But you have to look to history, even the biblical history, to understand current politics. Unfortunately for those of us who live in the modern world and think we're super rationalist in our thinking, in our lives, the whole world isn't like us. There are people dwelling in the 9th century and below that. Unfortunately for us, they're here on welfare as well. That's the crux. They don't have to make their own bread. No, you pay their bread so they can plot how to kill you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, why would you give welfare to people who are living in that dimension? Can you explain that to me? Explain it, Mr. Obama. Please, I'd like the answer. It makes no sense to me. At least let them earn their own living.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So we don't know if the Doctor Without Borders man really has Ebola, but, you know, he's in Bellevue. They shouldn't have been allowed back into America. But being a good liberal, he figured he was, you know, couldn't affect anyone because he meant well. And as you all know, if you mean well, you're a good person. And last night he went bowling in Williamsburg, and he took an Uber car to get there and back. That's all. So if you were in a bowling alley in Williamsburg and touched his bowling ball afterwards, I wouldn't worry. I mean, just, you know, what's his name? Your CDC will probably give a speech this afternoon saying that you can't catch Ebola from a bowling ball. But then I would say that I'd have to amend my article and say that Obama and his staff don't know Ebola from a bowling ball. Here's an assurance coming out. City Council member Mark Levine, who represents Harlem. You ready for this, idiot? I want to assure everyone in northern Manhattan that city, state, and federal public health authorities are responding with the highest possible level of urgency and blah, blah, blah. I want to reiterate that this has not yet been affirmed as an Ebola case, but every precaution being taken, blah, blah, blah. For more information on Ebola prevention, if you think you've come in contact with a patient, please call 311, 311. Or if you'd like to comment on this new Ebola scare in New York City, you can dial 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855-400-7282. Or if you'd like to see who predicted that we'd have new epidemics breaking out in America because of Obama's open borders policies, you can read Stop the Coming Civil War. It's that simple. Anyone want to talk about Ebola or President Ebola? I'm sure you will want to talk about it tomorrow once this sinks in. Tampa, Florida, WWBA Radio. Todd, welcome to the Savage Broadcast. What's on your mind?
Savage, let's get down to business. President Ebola is a disgrace and an abomination. You were one of the first ones to come out and say that way, way before everybody. I'm saying he's a Muslim Marxist who hates this country. Everything he's done has hurt the American people, and here he is You Democrats, you don't even want to be seen with President Ebola. You don't even want him around. You're a disgrace to the nation, too. Any American who hasn't brought their ballot ID with their kids and their wife and gone down to the polls and voted against this idiot, you're a disgrace to this country. You should be hung for treason if you haven't voted against this idiot. I understand the Republicans are a piece of garbage, too, but they're a hell of a lot better than Dumbo in the White House, okay? And if you haven't...
Now, other than that, Todd, do you have any strong political opinions today?
Other than that, let me tell you what I have to say, okay? The Boehner, you're a jerk, and Harry Reid, you're a total crook. But Obama, you're a disgrace. You even called yourself a Christian before you disgraced all Christians when you said you were a Christian before you ran, okay? And down here in Florida, we've got this idiot Charlie Crist, who's an independent one week, a Democrat the other week, and he said,
You really got it. So I assume you're going to vote in a few days.
I voted 2 weeks ago for Rick Scott, who's done the greatest job in Florida governorship in the history of governors, okay? And took Charlie...
No, he has. And by the way, Florida still has some sanity because they are bedrock Republicans up in the up in Tampa. The people in Tampa understand that if they let the New Yorkers who invaded Boca Raton and Fort Lauderdale and bring their let us say, crypto-Marxism to Florida, you're finished.
Oh, I know that, and we got Bill Gates.
Now, isn't that a strong statement of mine? I mean, I just know what just happened amongst the Delhi people down there. They just got mad at me again. But we all know what they think and what they do, the Delhi people, who vote both in New York and down in Florida. It's the land of the hanging Chad. You know that, Todd.
I understand that, but let me say this to you, okay? You can keep Bill Gates, who's coming to Florida, and everybody, keep your socialist, Marxist loserville, okay?
Listen, don't get me started on Bill Gates and what a danger he is to our society. I had someone call me from a school in Sonoma, California, telling me, Michael, do you know that Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation funded all sorts of things to monitor children electronically to see how they're learning from... some kind of bracelets that monitor whether children are responding to a lesson or not. Did you know this? And it was funded by the Gates Foundation?
I knew Gates was big in Common Core, which is another...
Thank you very much. People don't know that on the Common Core, the children, that your child can be monitored by these monsters in schools with electronic bracelets to see how their respiration is changing in certain lessons. It's unbelievable to me.
It's a disgrace beyond epic proportions. And let me say something to the American...
But you would think that the ACLU would be opposed to this, wouldn't you?
I sure would, but the ACLU is right. And Benny Holder, who's out there, who got kicked out, now he's going to try and you know, he's a disgrace. Benny, you disgraced yourself as the Attorney General.
Hey, Todd, I'd like to offer you a job as a fill-in. I mean, you're good. You don't even let the talk shows get a word in edgewise. You must be between jobs. Todd, are you between jobs right now?
I got a great job, but Savage, the only person I want to meet, because as Dale Carnegie said, when you meet someone, they let you down. The only person I want to meet is you. That's what I want to do. So I want to hang on, and I want you to get my information, because if I could fly to San Francisco, that hellhole, I'll do it to come see you.
Well, there's a couple of rules in radio, Todd. One of them is never accept a cake offered by a listener and eat it. Never drink a bottle of wine that's sent by a listener. Dear Mike, we love you. Bobby and I put this together in Sonoma from our own blend. We never drank that wine. We gave it away to the milkman. And the third thing is, even though a listener says he loves you, we don't know who the man really is, and we don't want a Beatles job here, Todd. All kidding aside, Todd, let me send you a free copy of... Did you ever read Stop the Coming Civil War yet?
No, I'm going to get that book, but I'm excited that if you can send me a copy. I still want to pay for it because of...
No, you can't pay for it. No, you're a guest in my house. Stay on the line. Cannot pay for it. WABC Joe, go ahead. You're on topic number one, which is how do we control radical Islamists in America?
Mike, you can't control them. You cannot control people that believe in if they kill themselves for jihad. And then when they die, they go to heaven, and they're going to have 72 virgins.
You make a very good point, and that thoughts occur to me as well. How do you reason with people who believe that they're going to be able to rape women in heaven, girls in heaven?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, think about a religion built upon such a concept.
You mean your reward for blowing yourself up and killing innocent people is you get to rape 72 young girls in heaven?
It's unbelievable, Mike.
I don't understand. I factually don't understand that. It doesn't boggle my mind. I can't even compute that concept.
My cousin, who is a Roman Catholic priest, who's been a priest for 25 years, got his head chopped up because he didn't want to convert in Syria. It's crazy. You cannot the Sunni Muslims over there, they're brainwashed. So when that's happening, even in Brooklyn, New York, they're being brainwashed.
In radical mosques right in America, they're told a lot of the same rubbish. That's absolutely a fact. And that's why Congressman Peter King wants mosques to be monitored again in America. It was done in America, but then it was stopped by the ACLU and the New York Civil Liberties Union. They're crazy. It's the same liberal mentality that says you can't stop travelers from Africa. It would be racist. Well, tell that to the 30 African nations who won't let them travel in there. I mean, the whole thing's crazy.
It really is.
All right, we both made our points. We live in a mad world that's only gotten madder under President Ebola. It's that simple. It's really that simple. Canada shooting, that's already yesterday's news. Now the noon, they forgot it already. By the way, the soldier was shot, had no bullets in his gun, which, I mean, it got me crazy. The guy was a bouncer in a bar in Canada and a personal fitness trainer. He could have torn that bum apart probably with his own hands. The brave Muslim who shot him at point-blank range. You know what I'm saying? Probably could have torn his throat out if he had a chance. What a world we're living in. My God. How do you feel about the Ebola scare now in New York City just came down 30, 40 minutes ago? How do you feel about that one? Do you think that the doctor should have been able to come back to America without having gone through quarantine? No. Why was he able to come back to America without having gone through quarantine? Ask President Ebola. Ask why he was able to go bowling while he might have had Ebola, whatever. This administration doesn't know Ebola from a bowling ball. Frank on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just wanted to say I work as an emergency room nurse and up in Western New York, and it is a joke. Some of these policies that are coming down, the CDC sends up emails each day, and they're changing their policy. I don't think they know what they're doing.
The head of the CDC should have been taken out of his job and, in my opinion, tried for criminal negligence after the first patient was brought in from Africa. People forget now. They're starting to accept that Ebola is here. It was not here. It came here because of Obama's liberal open border policies, period. End of story.
Now, the thing I wanted to say, too, is I'm kind of questioning why they moved those patients, too, from Dallas to those other hospitals. You were commenting earlier this week about the virulence of this type of, you know, the Ebola virus change. I think it could have been, based on the fact they're trying to, I mean, this policy, and the policy.
In other words, why would they move him out of Dallas? Why not treat him in Dallas? I guess the argument is the hospital in Dallas showed itself to be unable to treat it properly. I mean, that would be the answer. But you're saying that in the transfer of the patient, you exposed others possibly. Isn't that what you're also saying as an ER nurse, right?
Yes. I mean,
See, that's why you don't work for the CDC and Frieden does. You have common sense as an ER nurse. He doesn't know Ebola from Shinola. Well, now we could say he doesn't know Ebola from a bowling ball, because that's the next thing. Now, what are they going to do with the bowling alley in Williamsburg where the guy bowled? What are they going to do now? Close it down. Now, where are all the hipsters going to go tonight in Williamsburg to show how adept they are at bowling? Where are they going to go tonight? They'll have nothing to do with themselves. Thanks for the call. The time is now about a quarter to the hour, whatever it is. It's terrible. We're dealing with three problems now. One, how would you deal with radical Islam in America? Why does Obama downplay Muslim terrorism, whether it's in America, Canada, or anywhere else? And now we have the Ebola scare in New York City. Don't you agree with me? Please, tell me the truth. All of you good liberals who go bowling in Williamsburg and listening to me on WABC in New York, can I get your attention for a moment? For weeks, I, Michael Savage, have been saying, ban all travel from Ebola-stricken nations to America. Haven't I been saying it? You don't know I've been saying it. I was the first one. I won't be the last one. Everyone with common sense is saying it. And bingo, here we have it now. A nice, good doctor comes back from treating patients, Doctors Without Borders, well-meaning, good man, saintly, but apparently he was not quarantined before returning from treating patients with Ebola in Africa. Had he been quarantined and got the fever and the sick, we wouldn't have the scare in New York. Would we, Dr. Frieden? Would we, Dr. Obama? No. You see, had he been quarantined in Africa, Dr. Obama, we wouldn't have the scare in New York City now. Would we, Dr. Obama? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, well, there's an Ebola scare in New York City. Doesn't mean it's actually Ebola. It could be the stomach flu, salmonella, malaria, maybe ate in a deli in Manhattan. And, you know, he's in Bellevue Hospital, one of eight hospitals in New York State, which with specialized Ebola units. Oh, they got the units ready. Interesting. We didn't have Ebola here a month ago, 2 months ago. Now there's units already. I wonder who made the money on the units. I wonder who in the government had the units ready to go. I wonder who's rushing a vaccine and who's on the board of directors. Oh, what a country. The streets are paved with gold, huh? Went bowling last night in Williamsburg, took an Uber car to get there, and came back, according to the experts. But don't worry, don't be frightened about it. The experts are in control. Just very soon there'll be another speech by Tommy Frieden. I heard he ordered a new suit at Barney's for the occasion, and he has a new tie being tied for him by somebody. I hear his mother's coming up to tie his tie for him to make him look even more darling than he already looks. The patient is a healthcare worker returned to the U.S., within the past 21 days, from one of the three countries currently facing the outbreak of this virus. They're not even using the word Ebola now, this virus. Came back a week ago from Guinea. Really? Now, why was he allowed in after only a week? I mean, I thought that old Tommy Frieden had protocols. I thought Dr. Ebola had said everything's under control. Why would they let him back into the country after a week after treating patients in Guinea? Why? 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 Why are they opening borders with Mexico and won't close them when we have TB now in the cities that was eradicated? We have ED68 in the schools around America. A few children have died paralyzed, like with polio. No one's telling you about that because it would suddenly change your mind about the open borders policy of the liberal maniacs who've wrecked this country. Wrecked the country from stem to stern. Wrecked the country from top to bottom. They've poisoned and polluted everything they touched. Everything. Whether it be the morals of the nation, whether it be the borders of the nation, whether it be the language of the nation, whether it be the frail, fragile culture of this nation, whether it be the flag itself, everything these cockroaches have touched, they've decimated. Pardon me for getting so angry, but, you know, I thought that one day something would happen that would awaken the population and they'd throw the Democrat socialist machine into the gutter, into the garbage where they came from. Then I thought when Ebola came, I said, you know, it's a terrible thing, but maybe this will be the trigger that creates the mass unrest against Obama, against Harry Reid, against Feinstein, against every Democrat socialist welfare builder in this country. I haven't seen it happen yet. I haven't seen it happen yet. Moreover, I'm afraid that the Democrat socialist Islamists are going to steal the election no matter what we do, because I'm afraid of that. The absentee ballots, are you kidding me? Have you ever heard of a nation that permits a million or more people to vote so far in advance with virtually no voter ID required anywhere? Now tell me what sane nation on earth would permit that. Where did this idea of absentee ballots come from anyway? Why is it even possible? I could see it from military personnel serving abroad or somebody, let's say, who can definitively produce a note that they're going to be in a hospital with a surgical problem. Where did it come from that you can suddenly vote by computer? Where did it come from? The Democrats who were stealing the election with absentee ballots. That's where it came from. Well, meet the real boss of talk radio, Michael Savage, whose latest bestseller hit the New York Times list this week again, Stop the Coming Civil War. I have one question for those of you who didn't buy it. Why? What are you waiting for? Till after the election when it's too late?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, we've been talking about terrorism and Ebola, and they're both being mishandled by this administration. There's nothing else I can say about it. Yesterday, as you well know, a radical Islamist, or shall I just say an Islamist or a radical Muslim, whichever way you want to parse the words, killed an unarmed Canadian soldier guarding a war memorial, shot him in cold blood, and then celebrated with a fist pump. Very brave man he was. Now, an hour ago, a potential case of Ebola, which they're calling a virus in New York, Doctors Without Borders went over there, did wonderful work. Saintly man, the doctor, came back, and instead of being put in quarantine, which would have made sense, came back and went bowling, took an Uber car to Williamsburg and touched bowling balls. What if you touched this bowling ball last night? How do you feel about it now? You like open bowling balls as much as you like open borders? Maybe you idiots who are high all the time can come to understand that a nation is defined by its borders, language, and culture. And maybe you idiots in Williamsburg who like to think you're so hip and cool because you have a scraggly beard and you smoke pell-mells without filters and you vote liberal. Oh, yeah, I'm a liberal. Maybe you can come to understand what I'm talking about now. You want to hear how bad it's gotten? It's gotten so bad that doctors are being threatened with being fired in America if they use the word Ebola as they treat patients who may have the disease. That's correct. But it's not just a few doctors. Hospitals in New York City are being told, listen to this one, emergency dispatchers in New York were told to use words such as a viral illness. It says at no point shall a dispatcher transmit over the radio any message containing the word Ebola or related terminology, a New York Fire Department bulletin stated. Instead, dispatchers in New York were told to use the code letters FT for fever travel to indicate that a 9/11 caller had a fever and a history of travel to West Africa. Now, this is called a cover-up, isn't it? This is something Obama has specialized in from the day he appeared on the scene. Obfuscation, cover-up, lies, deceit, from day one. Day one, and they bought it, hook, line, and sinker, the hipsters did. Well, now they may have touched an Ebola bowling ball. Why? Because the patient, the doctor who treated the patient, should have been put in quarantine for at least 25 to 30 days before being allowed back in from Africa. The travel in and out of Africa should have been slammed shut a long time ago. Over 30 nations have prohibited travel from these nations, but not here old in America where liberals rule, where the liberal credos of openness and tolerance rule the roost. Well, openness and tolerance are wonderful. I believe in it myself up to a point. But there's a point at which openness and tolerance will kill you. And we've crossed that threshold. We crossed it a long time ago when illegal aliens from Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua were released by the Border Patrol because of Eric Holder and Barack Obama, many of whom are homicidal maniacs who committed homicide. They were released into the general population. But that wouldn't bother you because you're immune to that. They won't hurt you because they know you're a good liberal. They know that you're good. They can tell by your scraggly beard and how you smile and how you give the obsequious look when they walk by that they're not to hurt you. They're to hurt the mean guy in the uniform. Not you. You're immune. No one will touch you. The good liberal's not touched by the mean people. They've always believed that if they feel good about people, others won't hurt them. They really believe that, that if they walk around with a pure heart into a lion's den, the lion will not assault them. And that's why you occasionally see liberals entering lion cages. If you think I'm making it up, I'm not. They go into lion cages thinking that because they're pure of heart, the lion will not hurt them. It's just like a poodle, in other words. Well, they have the same mentality towards illegal aliens who are homicidal maniacs who Obama's released into the streets. The same liberal approach applies to Ebola or tuberculosis or any other virus. It won't affect them because they voted straight Democrat, socialist, Islamist. And they think that anyone who criticizes even radical Islamists is a bad person. In fact, they probably hate Michael Savage more than they do the Muslim who killed a soldier yesterday. I'm sure they hate any conservative more than they hate the Muslims who drove soldiers or ran them over in Canada the other day. That's because liberalism is a mental disorder. Now, it's all well and good to take care of mentally disordered relatives. We have to do that. And we have to tolerate our mentally disordered liberal citizens because they are like mentally, let us say, challenged people. And we have to be nice to them and tolerate them. But what happens when they are the majority in the electorate, which they are not, but they act as though they are? What happens when they're the majority in the newspaper business or in television and they start to poison the mind of the body politic? What happens is shows like mine come up and last for 20 years. That's what happens. What happens when books like mine are banned is that I keep writing them anyway and they're bestsellers. Now, how is that possible? How is it that you haven't read about Stop the Coming Civil War in the San Francisco Chronicle? It's been a New York Times bestseller for 2 weeks in a row. How is that possible? Does it mean that everyone who buys it is an illiterate fool? Or could it be that you're the illiterate moron? Could it be that you, who don't even read a book written by someone who you think you don't agree with, that you may be the illiterate fool that you hate? Could it be that you are your worst enemy? Could it be that Michael Savage is onto something when he says that there could be a civil war in this country if this attack upon America is not halted? Could it be? Want to talk about any of these topics? We're open for business here. We won't use code words on the Savage Nation, though. In New York, you can't say Ebola now. You have to use the code letter FT for fever travel. Or you can't say Ebola. You have to say a virus in order to cover up what you're covering, in order not to panic the pot smokers in New York City, the New York Times readers, the strap hangers who think they know everything. KSFO, Natasha, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I am concerned because there are recent studies done in West Africa that say that Ebola can have an incubation period up to 42 days. And then we...
Well, but this doctor came back after 7 days. He was such a good, kind doctor, he brought it back after 7 days.
Yeah, we just released patients after 21 days.
Well, that way they can vote in time for the election. You can't keep them in a hospital in order for them to vote for Harry Reid. You need to release them into the general population. You see, you're not thinking the way Obama and Holder and Harry Reid think. They'd rather have an infected Ebola patient released from a hospital as a voter than keep them locked up, because after all, you can't afford to lose the few votes you have. I know, it's speechless. Here's a headline. White House freed illegals charged with homicide. Newsmax. Canadian Parliament gunman acted alone. Oh, yeah, right, another lone wolf. I love lone wolf. Lone wolf, lone wolf. Senseless violence. Lone wolf, lone wolf, lone wolf. The same president who still won't say that Major Nidal Hassan, remember that Muslim darling, the major who shot and killed 13 and wounded over 50, including a pregnant woman, he shot her in the belly? Is that allowed in his religion to shoot a kafir in the belly who's pregnant with a baby? Is that permitted? Did they go to heaven for that too? Well, that major is still not been executed. You know why? Because Obama called it workplace violence. We are living in the worst possible scenario that you could imagine of not only braving the world, but a world so upside down it's hard to understand how to straighten it out. When a president goes to the world media and calls an act like yesterday's act senseless violence, and when the New York Fire Department can't use the word Ebola on the radio, they have to use the like code letters. We're living in the most dangerous of times. Canada had revoked the shooter's passport, citing high risk, but because of ultra-tolerance and ultra-liberalism, they could not preemptively arrest him. You understand that? Because then the ACLU equivalent in Canada would have gone berserk. All of the long-haired lawyers who tie their ponytails in a bun to enter the courts would have gone berserk had they arrested the coward before he killed that poor soldier. Canada gunman was Islam convert with criminal history. No kidding. No kidding. Mom of Canada suspect. I cry for victims, not the son. Well, good for you. Where do you get his ideas from? She's an immigration officer in the government, no less. You like that? How's that for irony? Isn't that irony? The father went and fought in Libya of the shooter, right? But the mother was worked for the immigration department. Canadian killer's mother, an immigration official. His father was a Libyan who fought in the 2011 war. You hear this? In Libya. But old Mama Bear was a immigration official. Susan Bibeau, The mother of Michael Zehav Babot said that she did not know what to say to the victims, but she's on the country's immigration board. I wonder, you think she should be looked into? I mean, I realize you can't hold the parents responsible for the sins of their children, but where do you get these ideas from? Tara's full name is Michael Joseph Paul Abdallah Bulghassam Zehav Babu. Michael Joseph Paul Abdallah Bulghassam Zehav Babu. Okay. He shot Corporal Nathan Cirillo, 24, and killed him. And by the way, the officer who was killed, the corporal, had a gun with no bullet in it. Isn't that Canadian? How Canadian can you get? He was holding a ceremonial rifle, and he was killed as a result. How Canadian can you get? Son had his passport seized by the government before he carried out his shooting spree. Shooting spree? It sounds like a bowling. What do you mean shooting spree? Before he committed homicide? What do you mean by shooting spree? It's not a spree. Not a shooting spree. It's a homicidal maniac because he based it upon his religious beliefs. That's all. I mean, what do you want to mince words again? Susan Babu, whose son had a passport seized after he was designated a high-risk traveler, works as a federal public servant for the Immigration and Refugee Board and lives in Montreal. I wonder how many refugees this good old mama bear has given asylum to. I wonder how many asylees in Canada owe their asylum to the mother of the shooter in Canada. Immigration and Immigrant and Refugee Board. Refugee Board. I wonder how many refugees in Canada owe their welfare and owe their house and owe their cards and their cars and their virtually everything to this good liberal mother. How many in Canada are there because of her? How many more will be coming in because of her? Will Canada change its immigration policies because of her son? You know the answer. No, it'll get worse. The Libs will now argue that if there were more Muslims in Canada rather than fewer, the shooter wouldn't have felt as alienated, and he wouldn't have slipped through the system. He wouldn't have slipped through the cracks. He would have been treated by a psychologist. Okay, you get the picture. Yes, the sarcasm pours off my lips. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
Talk with Prime Minister Harper this afternoon.
Where's the president?
Obviously, the situation there is tragic. Just 2 days ago, a Canadian soldier had been killed in an attack. We now know
Let's turn it off. So our great leader has chimed in on the shooting there, and a guy in a headscarf, and he said it's senseless violence. It is senseless violence, but it made sense to the jihadis who did it. They were following orders, Mr. Obama. You should know that. You give out a lot of edicts to people to follow in America. They were just following orders from their Fuhrer in the Middle East. And the Fuhrer in the Middle East said, go and commit jihad in Canada against Canadian soldiers. So Mr. Obama, to call it senseless violence is senseless unto itself. I'm shocked. What you don't know is that there was an unpublicized incident in Canada, almost no press in the U.S., yet it was a big story in Canada. Two Canadian soldiers were killed. They were run over by a car by an Islamic murderer. Okay, now that was only a few days after the so-called ISIS group called for attacking Canadian military for some twisted, perverted reason. But the fact of the matter is, the video sent to the media called for fellow travelers in America and in the world to run over soldiers with their cars, and this Muslim did it. He killed one soldier and injured another. He was chased, his car knocked over, came out after the police with a knife, and he was shot dead, thank God. The fact of the matter is, there is terrorism here. ISIS is in North America. We all know that. They beheaded a woman in Oklahoma, remember that? Do you remember the jihadist in a meatpacking plant? The African-American convert to Islam? You forgot that 2 weeks ago? He beheaded a poor middle-class white woman, cut her head off. I guess that didn't reach it to Eric Holder. That happened only a few weeks ago. There was a kid killed in New Jersey by a Muslim fanatic. A white boy shot for no reason other than he was white. Three other guys were killed by that same two. and they were all chanting Allah with this, blah, 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 while they did so. So now we have Canada. I'm sure Obama's considering calling it workplace violence. They will say that he was just upset because he wasn't hired as Assistant Prime Minister of Canada for Radical Islamist Affairs, and it was just simply an act of workplace violence, move along. And I'm sure that our Department of Homeland Security is on top of it. I often wonder how this generation can ever hope to achieve anything in life if they walk around with their hand in front of their eyes as they're walking down the street. I sometimes laugh to myself and I say, here are young women looking for boyfriends. They could pass the boy of their dreams in the street. They wouldn't even know it because they're looking into their iPhone, their oracle for the future. They think this oracle in their hand holds all. There's nothing more I can say. It's just a social observation. And that's it. So, yeah, we're being infiltrated, no question about it. The country has been infiltrated a long time ago. Let us say, to the highest levels? Do we need to go any farther than that? Do you think this country's not been infiltrated? You could thank John Stewart for that. You could thank Bill Maher for that. You could thank the government jesters for that. They're part of the laugh-a-thon. They keep the potheads laughing so that they're ignoramuses who are ripe for the plucking. I find myself screaming at the screen. What is this weak response? What world am I living in? The president gets up and commits another crime against humanity by saying it's senseless violence instead of saying it was another act of jihad. He knows what it was. Two Canadian soldiers were killed by a jihadist, a Muslim who was told by ISIS to run soldiers over, and they did. So now another one went on the warpath, and our president again covers it up with double talk, calling it senseless violence. It's frightening to me. It's like living in an Orwellian nightmare. It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. Meanwhile, the White House keeps lying and spinning about Ebola. Instead of stopping all travel from the Ebola-stricken nations, they come up with double talk. They're saying all travelers from these nations have to come through only 5 airports now. Well, as a reported 94 or 97% of all travelers from these nations currently come through these airports anyway.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400.
We don't yet have all the information about what motivated the shooting. We don't yet have all the information about whether this was part of a broader network or plan, or whether this was an individual or a series of individuals who decided to take these actions. But it emphasizes the degree to which we have to remain vigilant when it comes to dealing with these kinds of acts of senseless violence or terrorism.
Okay, senseless violence or terrorism. Obama is being roundly criticized, both here and in Canada, for hedging on the words terrorist, terrorist attack. The Canadian government was clear. They called it what it was, an act of terrorism by a Muslim. And the Prime Minister of Canada declared that his country was a victim of a terrorist. Why does Obama walk so gently around this issue? After all, it was an unarmed Canadian soldier who was executed by the Muslim who then did a victory dance. And a day before, a soldier was run over in a hit-and-run incident in Quebec by a Muslim fanatic. Should I not say the word Muslim? Should I join the chorus of the New York Times and the ACLU? Should we say religious fanatic or cleric? Every time we say the word imam, we should convert that to cleric. Is that what you'd like? So again, the people don't know who or what is doing what. So how would you deal with the threat of radical Islam in our own country? Should we do, as Congressman Peter King suggests, authorize again the monitoring of mosques, because we know that most mosques are basically harbingers of peace, but some aren't. Some teach hatred, some teach jihad, and that's why so many of the young are going to terrorist countries. You get it? That's how it's happening. He knows what needs to be done. So let's go to clip 13.
We're talking about Muslim converts when they're acting several days after one another, when it's in response to a demand or an order or request from ISIS to carry out these type of attacks. We have to put political correctness aside and accept the reality that this is most likely a murder, not just carried out, an act of terrorism, not just carried out by a person who happens to be a Muslim, but a person who has been influenced by radical ideology and perhaps more, perhaps in collusion with others. And that's what we have to look at. That's
all right,
what
so what are you saying
about.
We need to do, Congressman? Monitor the mosques? You said that also. New York used to do that until the cockamamie lunatics in the NYPD and the ACLU and the New York Times said that that's illegal. It's not illegal. What, to prevent murder is illegal? No. Listen to 14 now.
Well, I strongly believe that without in any way violating the Constitution, we can have effective security. For instance, I believe it's very appropriate for police to be monitoring local organizations, to be looking through their sources to find out who in communities could be dangerous, who could have terrorist leanings, who could be involved in conspiracies to carry out violence. As far as, for instance, electronic surveillance, that should be done with court supervision, but it, in many ways it's the only way to find out what is going to be happening.
All right, so in other words, bug the radical mosques in plain English. What, they don't exist? What, are you shocked to hear that? Let me ask you something, common sense. You just heard with three teenage girls or two, whatever, went to Syria. They're on their way to become jihadists. Where'd they get the message from in their Somali community? Seems a lot of Somalis get the message in their mosques. Now, of course, when the Somalis came here, this is an intriguing side note. In San Francisco, about 3 years ago, the police chief, who's a fine police chief, by the way, had the nerve and the audacity to tell the truth. He actually gave an off-the-cuff speech where he said, I'm concerned about radical imams in Somali mosques. Well, they almost fired him. He almost lost his job as police chief for saying what any policeman who knows what's going on would say. See, this is what's happened in the country. They become so caponized, there's no other word for it, that we're all vulnerable. And why does Obama downplay terrorism in America? These are important questions. It's that simple. So what would you do? What would you do? You have the power now. What would you do? Tell me exactly what you do. I don't know the answer myself. I know some of the answers, but the ultimate answer is something quite horrible. I know many of you like to say, turn the Middle East into glass. That's an easy, you know, knee-jerk reaction. Just nuke them. But what does that mean? You're going to kill, what, everyone in the Middle East? That doesn't make sense. That's not the problem. The real issue is what is it about the fundamentalists who read the Quran literally? That's the real issue. How many times have I said the same thing on this show? If I said it 100 times, I said it once, so get it right this time, would you please? The Old Testament is the book upon which the Quran is based. I mean, let's not mince words. The first religion of the three that are considered monotheistic religions is Judaism. And Islam came along, and what's his name? Muhammad took much of the teachings that are taught or written in the Quran, verbally at the time, from the Old Testament. I mean, let's be clear. He didn't make it up out of thin air. He copied a lot of it from the Old Testament. Well, why is it that Jews who follow the Old Testament, the Orthodox, do not stone homosexuals nor stone adulteresses, while the radicals in radical Islam do that? They do that. They do that. They do that. They do that. How is it the Jew chooses not to eat shrimp and pork, but not to stone a woman who commits adultery? While radical Muslims, I don't know about their food prohibitions, I know pork, I don't know about shrimp, still stone adulteresses to death. In fact, we have a picture of one right in Syria, a father putting a noose around a girl's neck, his own daughter, and leading her into a hole in the ground and stoning her to death with the fanatics with the black masks next to him. How is it that this could still be going on in the year 2014? How? How is this possible? So the question is, what do you do about it? How do you take so many millions of ignoramus throwbacks and tell them that you can't stone your daughter to death if she commits adultery? How do you get that across to the maniacs? Let's shift for 1 minute to the climate change lie that Obama's been pushing for his entire career. You ready for this one? John Coleman, who co-founded the Weather Channel, shocked academics by insisting the theory of man-made climate change was no longer scientifically credible. In an Oprah letter attacking the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, he said the ocean is not rising significantly. The polar ice is increasing, not melting away. Polar bears are increasing in number. And what little evidence there is for rising global temperatures points to a natural phenomenon within a developing ecosystem. He went on. He said heat waves have actually diminished, not increased. There is not an uptick in the number of strength of storms. In fact, storms are diminishing. He said, I have studied this topic seriously for years. It has become a political and environmental agenda item, but the science is not valid. Now, if you want to read the article itself, you can get it in theexpress.co.uk. It's a complete fraud. But Obama has not changed his agenda. In fact, U.S. News and World Report notes that many of the world's largest businesses, including Coke, Pepsi, Walmart, Nestle, Mars, Monsanto, Kellogg, General Mills, Microsoft, and IBM, are now engaged in actively responding to climate science and data, meaning pushing the lie of President Obama and the climate liars. And this comes as Obama came under fire from real climatologists, by the way, for continuing to give out the big lie about carbon dioxide, for example. Obama boasted that America has done more under his watch in cutting greenhouse gases than any other country. But what you don't know is that carbon dioxide itself is a natural product of life on Earth. It is also an essential atmospheric gas. It has also been demonized by people with no scientific background whatsoever. The incredible list of supposed horrors that increased CO2 will bring the world is pure belief disguised as science, says climate expert William Happer from Princeton University, who supports Mr. Coleman's claims. He went on and he said, no chemical compound in the atmosphere has a worse reputation than carbon dioxide, thanks to the single-minded demonization of this natural and essential atmospheric gas by advocates of government control and energy production, meaning Barack Hussein Obama. So there it is. Now, at the same time this is going on, are you ready for these stories? Climate change proved to be nothing but a lie, claims top meteorologist. 6 inches of snow to hit Britain next week as Arctic blast sends temperatures plummeting. Winter 2014 set to be the coldest for the century. Britain faces Arctic freeze in just weeks. Blah, blah, on and on, on and on, on and on. But it doesn't stop Microsoft. It doesn't stop Obama. It doesn't stop the fraudulent, hackneyed academics from pushing the lie of global warming or climate change. And we're all paying for it as a result. Now, what does that big lie of climate change have to do with the violence that we're witnessing in Canada, violence by Islamists against Canadian soldiers? It's the same mindset. The same liberal mindset that tells you there is global warming when the evidence is to the contrary, tells you that Islam is a religion of peace when we all know around us it's anything but a religion of peace. We all know that. We sense it. We hear it. We see it. We smell it. We see it. We're not allowed to say it. Why are we not allowed to say it? Because we're no longer living in a free country. We're no longer free people. We're living in a prison of lies, a prison of propaganda. We are not living in a brave new world. We're living in a very, very unbrave new world, which has been said by others. I can guarantee you that as we speak, Canada is more concerned about the so-called non-backlash that they'll say is liable to occur against Muslims in Canada than they are about the murders of their own soldiers. Do you know what Canada did right after this? The head of the Canadian Air Force told the Air Force members not to wear their uniforms in public. Can you believe this? I mean, can you believe they told the members of the military forces in Canada not to wear their uniforms in public? Have you ever heard of anything more cowardly and disgraceful in your life? I think we must preserve this nation, the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness, said Ronald Reagan. If you let this goon squad of Democrats, socialist Islamists continue to run roughshod over the Constitution and the laws of the land, we will descend into 1,000 years of darkness as sure as I'm sitting here. We'll never come back from it. And that's why I wrote my last nonfiction book called Stop the Coming Civil War. I might write a book on health or on dogs or something. I'm through with this. There's a worldwide liberal revolution that's being funded by George Soros and other nefarious factions. And I see the American Civil War that's emerging as part of the current worldwide liberal revolution, in which I write in the end of the book, we are the equivalent of the anti-communists who fought Stalin. The conservatives in this country, those who still believe in the family. And I go on and on. It's almost too sad to read to you. Everything is at stake. Unless this power grab is arrested, we will all become serfs in the New World Order. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Now, we know what happened in Canada. Most of you know every detail of that story. And you also know that Obama embarrassed America and himself once again. He called it senseless violence And he is being criticized everywhere but in America for hedging on the Muslim who attacked the unarmed soldier and being compared with Canadian Prime Minister who called it what it was, an act of terrorism. Canada's Prime Minister declared that his country was a victim of a terrorist, while Obama gave one of his limp-wristed sort of hedging speeches about senseless violence, which leads us to believe that we have a real problem coming down from the rotting fish head. As you well know, fish rots from the head down. And, of course, the entire nation is rotting because the head has been rotting for a while. And people are trying to say, how do we deal with this? So I'm going to ask you a question. How would you deal with radical Islam in America? What would you do? Should the government reauthorize the monitoring of mosques in America to listen in on hate preachers who are hiding behind the First Amendment but radicalizing many people to becoming such killers? Why does the president downplay Muslim terrorism in America? I mean, it's a straight-out question. And if I were the only one asking it, I would be, you know, the odd man out. But I'm not the only one asking it. Most of America is asking this question. How do you deal with radical Muslims in America? Should the government authorize the monitoring of mosques, which was once done, by the way, in New York City in particular, before the crackpot mayor became mayor and before the presidency was occupied by the Occupy movement with Obama as the head of it? Well, we're still talking about the hate in Canada, the Muslim hater, who was a, they say, recent convert to Islam. No, it's a long-standing conversion to radicalism. They had him on a watch list. They pulled his passport. But because they're controlled by liberalism, they never threw him in jail. They waited for him to kill an unarmed Mountie, which he did. And did you know he was unarmed? The Canadian Parliament shooting victim, a young father. Oh, he had a rifle, but he wasn't allowed to have bullets in it. Did you know that, Neil? No, you didn't know that. He wasn't allowed to have bullets in it because that would have been too threatening to the liberals in Canada. 24-year-old, he worked as a bouncer at a bar and a personal trainer in his hometown of Hamilton. As he supported his 6-year-old son and 2 dogs, he was cut down in cold blood by a cowardly piece of garbage, throwback, cockroach, radical fundamentalist Islamist. That's right, garbage, subhumans. And by the way, the guard who shot him, Kevin Victors, is the hero. See, he had a gun in his hands. He's a former Canadian Mountie, and he's the hero because he stopped the radical Muslim who shot the soldier. You know how he stopped him? Not with love. Oh, no, he didn't stop him with love. He stopped him with a bullet to the head. Yes. And by the way, the gunman's mom, the radical Muslim's mom, worked in the immigration department for the nation of Canada. How do you like that? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yep, bring them all in. Bring more of them in. Bring more of them in. That's what we need. More and more and more Islamists. Give them asylum and give them welfare, and they'll let them try to kill all of us. Top right, michaelsavage.com. Muslim convert killed unarmed Canadian soldier. Canadian killer's mother, an immigration official. His father was a Libyan who fought in the 2011 war. Another one. Another mother who can't get enough of the terrorists. And she wondered why the son became like the father, huh? Lesbian mayor of Houston attacks pastors. She was chastised by the federal government. Can you believe this? Oh, there was another White House fence jumper. This one kicked and punched a police dog, body slammed a police dog, and they didn't shoot him. Again, they didn't shoot a fence jumper. Makes you wonder why they killed that unarmed black woman 2 years ago. Air Force fired a controller who called in friendly fire airstrike in Afghanistan, killing our troops. Really, who was the controller? They won't identify him or her? Incidentally, those of you who are into the climate hysteria, climate change proved to be nothing but a lie, claims the man who founded the Weather Channel. He knows more than Al Gore does. Okay, you want to have fun? There's a tape from Croatia of a boxer punching a referee repeatedly after losing. Terrible story. I guess they don't know anything about sportsmanship in Croatia. Oh, did I tell you that Stop the Coming Civil War is a bestseller for the second week in a row on the New York Times list? Didn't make it to your local paper? Well, it's in the bookstores now. It's up front. And there's only, what, 13 days now to save America? And you can do your part by buying Stop the Coming Civil War and pick out one fact in the book and convert one relative, one friend, one neighbor from the D to the R column. And then our job begins. Stop the Coming Civil War. Save America. This is Michael Savage saying, God bless this great nation.
Savage.